This is a story about what happens when you have breast cancer, told in real time. Let's talk about this appointment. This is Dr. Luis Rivera. He's your general surgeon. He's the one who is doing the mastectomy part. This is a surgery that your plastic surgeon and your general surgeon operate at the same time. They have two different jobs in the same surgery.
Yes.
So you met with the general surgeon.
He's doing the demo in the remodel.
Only an HGTV addict would refer to it as the demo.
Yeah, he's doing the demo and then Pachella is going to do the rebuild. So anyway, yeah, I went to see Dr. Rivera, and Dr. Rivera is lovely. He's the one who did the biopsy. He's the one who called me to tell me that it was malignant. And he's the one who put all the referrals out to all my current doctors, right? And my oncologist and radiation therapist and all of that. So we talked and he took some measurements and he told me basically what our plan was and what it was going to look like. And we talked about dates, and it had to be after the 2-week mark, but before the 30-day mark, because my immune system had to be strong enough to withstand surgery. The 14-day mark is when it's usually at its lowest, and then it starts building back up from there. So we talked about it all, and I said, so I don't have to have radiation, right? And he said, oh no, you do have to have radiation. And I said, well, what are you going to radiate? He said, if you're going so far as to have the other breast taken off and all of the tissue taken, I don't know why you wouldn't elect for radiation. He said, I think you need to do absolutely everything that's an option to get rid of this. And I said, well, so what are you guys going to be radiating? And he said, likely the chest wall, and it could be some other areas as well, depending on what they come up with and what they see when they're in there. And so that was a big shock. It was like at the beginning when I decided that when I had cancer, my treatment was going to be a mastectomy and that was it. So in my Disneyland brain, I said, oh, well, I'm going to get rid of the cancer and get new boobs. That's awesome. That's all that's going to happen to me. I'm not going to have chemo. I'm not going to have radiation. They're just going to get this off.
You have a surgery date. When is that?
10 days. It's the 22nd.
June 22nd. And then the radiation start?
4 to 6 weeks after that. So that's going to be the end of July, beginning of August. I haven't had that appointment yet to get exact information. But from what I understand, that's a 6 week, 5 day a week little party.
5 days a week for 6 weeks? And how long does that take? I mean, do you just kind of go in and get zapped and then?
What I hear about it is fatigue, but also everybody tells me if you've been through chemo, this is a walk in the park. They do little dot tattoos so that they know where to go with it. And then I guess they do some kind of mapping. And I think it's fascinating. I'm learning so much. The oncologist meets with the physicist and they come up with what the treatment's going to look like. And there's something, there's plastic surgery stuff that goes on in between.
It's funny. It seems like the plastic surgery part is like almost the smallest of the things.
Isn't it? Yeah. I've never had a surgery that's going to take 4 to 5 hours. Those are like heart surgeries, or those are like big replacement surgeries. Yeah. And I still don't think that I've come to terms with that I'm the one with the cancer. When I saw Dr. Pachella last week and his nurse asked for my birth date in like 1965. And I was like, oh, that's my birth date. Oh, I'm the one with the cancer. Like I'm the one with the pre-op appointment right now. Even though I'm walking through this, it still is like cancer. Like, you know, because you always wonder your whole life. Well, I mean, I did anyway. If somebody tells you you have cancer, how are you going to react? And then like, what decisions are you going to make? And how are you going to manage every day?
I've never even thought about it, but I certainly have been thinking about mortality a lot lately.
That's a whole other episode, is talking about my journey to be okay if I'm not okay. I've lived a great life. Like I've done a lot of stuff. You know, I've loved big and I've lived fully and I've left many people better than I found them. And that's a gift of teaching. And that's my goal always, is to leave things and people better than you find them. I've gotten to do that. And I'm at a place in my life where I'm sitting here in this beautiful place. I rent, I don't own, and I'm okay with that. I love my life. I'm going to tear up. Like, I really, really, I love my life. And there are some things that are really sad about it, but I don't know. I'm so fortunate. I have so many good people in my life. And my only job right now is to go to the appointments and to show up and to take care of myself. Who has that? Who has that life that they get to do what they want to do for a living? This beautiful 18-month-old and this wonderful family. I get to take my dog. I come home to a beautiful place. I have people who love and care about me unconditionally and vice versa. And I don't know how much better it can get. I don't have a $500,000 house. I'm so happy. I have 1,000 square feet and a storage unit.
Sunshine all the time.
Sunshine all the freaking time.
Beautiful breeze.
But it's the things that you're taught when you're young. You have to have this, you have to have this, and you try to control your whole life to build to be when you're 56, you have all these things in place. And I hadn't been down on myself for a lot of years about what I didn't have, and as opposed to looking at what I do have. It's the craziest thing that I'm in really good health, except for this dang tumor. People are like, how can you say that you're healthy? Like, you have something trying to kill you. And I'm like, well, I am. Did you see the America's Got Talent, the Nightbird
thing?
Well, somebody sent this to me, and it's this woman who is 30 years old, and she sang this beautiful song, and she's got a 2% chance of living. She's had cancer 3 times. And her whole thing was, you can't wait till things are good to be happy. And the thing was too, that her husband left her and she went to America's Got Talent by herself. Like, they asked her, who are you here with? She goes, I'm here alone. And it was to where, like, the hosts were starting to feel kind of bad. They're like, well, what do you do for a living? And she's like, well, I haven't really worked for a while because I've been dealing with cancer. And Howie Mandel's like, oh, dude, sorry. You know, but her spirit was just so beautiful. And I just cried the whole time because it felt a little familiar that I was by myself. I think what Woodrow used to call me, Pollyanna. Like, there's not any many people more Pollyanna than Kristen. I just think you're so much more than the hard things that happen to you. I mean, she mentioned that. And I really feel like that, like, throughout this whole thing. But I have gotten to know myself and other people on such a, I want to say deeper level, but it's more than that. So if not for this journey, I wouldn't have had those opportunities. So hopefully some of what I've learned can help somebody else. I don't know exactly how yet.
Oh, I think we're going to find out.
Yeah, I hope so.
Watch out.
Everybody always talks about attitude, attitude, attitude. And I'm like, yeah. And my brother said to me, Kristen, you know what I love is that your attitude is your superpower.
Totally.
See, the thing is, I live here. I live in my head. It's not always a good place. And the self-talk isn't always positive. But I have tools and I've learned methods. And my perspective has turned, I want to say not even 180, like 270, to understand where I am with all of this. This is a whole book, but I spent a lot of years thinking about the cards I was dealt and how I had every reason to be angry, to be upset, to abuse substances, to numb myself. Yeah, I had a shitty deck, excuse me. But as opposed to looking at it like, you can always change it. But I had to figure out ways to change all of that and my perspective. And that's a whole other conversation. But as soon as I could turn this into look at the people I'm meeting, look at how deep I get to go, and look at my community, I was the one who's the common denominator with all of these beautiful people. Something about me, they found value in to stay with me on this journey. As low and as my morale was, and as worthless as I felt for a good 50 years of my life. But the surgery piece Everybody talks about it being the small piece. This is pretty big because it involves pain. Today, I picked up all these prescriptions, and it's about managing the pain. And I learned that when I had my ACL reconstruction. I feel like I have everything in place that can be in place. But to me, it's the biggest surgery because it's taking the cancer out of my body.
Yeah.
I go in at 7:30 Pacific time. So by noon, I'm cancer-free on that day. And to me, that's the biggest deal. And then the radiation. There's a lot more that goes on. There's two more surgeries that happen. And then there's managing the expanders and then filling and blah, 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 blah. You know,
let's come back the day before surgery and check in.
Yeah, absolutely. The last thing I'm going to say that I'm super excited about is that California is opening up. What that means is that it opens a week before my surgery. So I get to have somebody there with me. And so after 21 weeks of sitting alone during chemo, I'd rather have somebody there when I'm in this kind of a situation.
Absolutely.
I know it's a weird thing to be excited about, but.
No, I was going to say, if there's nobody, I'm flying out there.
I know.
You can get rid of me.
There is. I know there is. I got my people and I'd love to see you. You're welcome out here anytime.
Yeah, I got to get out there.
You do. And with everything opening up, it's interesting. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you're done with chemo. You can come do this. You can come do this. I have some friends I haven't seen in 20 or 30 years who are getting together. And so I was like, I can't come. They're like, well, we're all vaccinated, you know? And I'm like, I can't. Like, I can't even get a cold right now. They were swabbing my nose to make sure I didn't have any kind of MRSA or staph infection because I can't get sick right now.
Wow.
Yeah. They want any kind of infection, any kind of anything that's in your body out before they're doing this massive surgery. So that there's less chance for infection. And so as much as I want to be in these places, I have that little teeny window of time to get this out of my body.
Easy choice.
Totally. Well, I love you. It's so good to see you.
I love you too. Thanks for listening to Breast Cancer Stories. There's a link in the show notes with all of the resources mentioned on this episode and more info about how you can donate. If you're facing a breast cancer diagnosis and you want to tell your story on the podcast, send an email to hello@theaxis.io. I'm Eva Shea, your host and executive producer. Production support for the show comes from Mary Ellen Clarkson, and our engineer is Daniel Cruiser. Breast Cancer Stories is a production of The Axis, theaxis.io. Heh